All right. Well, happy Tuesday. Hello, everybody. Welcome to The Pulse, all of our ODX community, those of you that have partnered with us through TBM and Open Door Tribe. Happy Tuesday. So glad that you're with us for another episode of The Pulse. Many of you know Pastor Troy is not here today. He's actually been in Washington, D.C. the past couple of days with this big celebration, this big rededication, this big spiritual, very supercharged, supernatural thing that's happening in our nation. And so Pastor Troy and Shay and Rebecca and the team are there. And so I'm getting to fill in and be with y'all here today. We're going to do a little Bible study here later on in The Pulse, but have some ministry updates for y'all. And I want to go ahead and invite y'all to join in with us through our midweek experience tomorrow night on Wednesday at 7 o'clock, where Pastor Troy is going to be here. And he's going to be going over 40 years of walking with Jesus and 40 years of Jesus loving him and him loving Jesus and 40 years of ministry. And it's going to be a fun time for us to celebrate all that God's done over those four decades as well. So I want to go ahead and invite you to be with us on Wednesday for our midweek experience. And like Pastor Troy says, the reason we meet on Wednesdays is because once a week just isn't enough. And so that Wednesday night service is a time to get re-energized and refreshed, rejuvenated. And y'all know being a part of this community, the testimony builds from Sunday to Wednesday. We come and celebrate and pray together and encourage one another and hear about all that what's going on. And then from Wednesday to Sunday, we do that too. And we just continue to meet and encourage one another. So thank you so much for joining with us. Want to go ahead and invite you that if you aren't familiar with our online platform, odx.tv, that's where you can get sermons and worship sets and stuff like that, obviously, but also more than that, it's access to all of our conference material, ministry updates, our rescue stories. For those of you fellow pastors serving out there and serving God's people in your communities, Pastor Troy has a pastor's corner on there and just a lot of really great information for you to access. So go to odx.tv. We'd love for you to join us and see what everything's about. So like we said, Pastor Troy and the team are in Washington, D.C. They're actually coming back today and tomorrow, and then he'll be with us. But we got some updates to go through, and I think some of the big parts, we have some pictures to show y'all as well, where it's just been a powerful couple of days of ministry that you can see there with Pastor Troy and Sharon Bolin, who's a member of President Trump's Faith Council. And there you have Pastor Troy and Trey Schmoker and Brandy and Miss Rebecca and Sharon. And then, of course, Shay is there with them as well. So they've had an incredible time of celebrating what God's done, but they've also made some incredible partnerships over this week and meeting some people. There's Pastor Troy. Yeah, he asked on Sunday, guys, do I wear the hat? Do I not wear the hat? And chose to wear the hat. And I think that's a great identifier, not just of him, but what God's doing through him and through this ministry. And speaking of that, there's Pastor Troy with some of y'all, some of our ODX community across the country, just walking down the street and was able to meet and connect with them. And I'm sure they prayed together and had an incredible time. So I love seeing that. And again, we talked about there's some new partnerships emerging. Remember what God's doing in 2026? Part of the theme of the King's coming, that's part of it. But the other part is supernatural collaborations. And so, yeah, Pastor Troy and Shay, they've got some stories to tell on some new people that they met. So many divine appointments and testimonies from the trip. There's Pastor Troy in conversation and praying. You know, he's a person of prayer. And another person of prayer there, y'all, somebody that we need to continue praying for is Pastor Darren Stott. There's Pastor Troy and Darren together as they did some videos. You may have seen those on Darren or on Pastor Troy's YouTube. And so there they are, just keeping everybody update. Again, a lot of this content, a lot of the stories will be available on odx.tv. And of course, tomorrow night with Pastor Troy here live, he'll be sharing some stories, some of these divine appointments, things that have been going on the past couple of days, and also have some updates as our team's been in Mexico, and they're going to come back with Pastor Swanamy's updates on that as well. So it's going to be a full night. We'll have praise and worship tomorrow night, get y'all updated on what's going on. And y'all, I want to pause for a minute. I've got a few other things to talk about as far as the promo part, but I see y'all joining in, and thank y'all for being here today. Everybody that joins in faithfully every week, but maybe for some of you, you know, you're tuning in for the Pulse at the first time and wondering what all this is about. And we really want to stay connected in two really big ways. We want to stay connected in what God's doing, the prophetic, the life-giving, the life-affirming, the life-calling, the life-honoring part of what God's doing, both in the headlines across the nation, across the world, how God's speaking to Pastor Troy through the current events, but then also that we stay connected as a community. So thank you all for joining in. Thank you for being people of prayer. Thank you for being encouraging people. And also hello, moderators that are in there and those of you that are keeping the conversation going, getting all the helpful info, the helpful information. Thank you all for being here as well. God bless you. You may have joined with us on this past Sunday when Pastor Troy began his new series, Justice League. He's talking about justice being an active participation that we partner with the Lord, that the Lord reveals to us steps to take. The Lord reveals to us what's on his heart, what's on his mind, what's right whenever justice takes place, God's essence of justice, but also whenever justice happens, what it looks like. And so I would encourage you to go back. And if you missed his first sermon on that, you can go back and get joined in, and he's going to continue his Justice League series, which is just really powerful and is super timely as well. Next thing to share with you all, guys, we have a special guest joining us on The Pulse tomorrow, so you can come back at the same time tomorrow and join in on that. And y'all, we're seeing God move in a really powerful way and lives being impacted. Before we get into the Bible study, Pastor Ben Brewer and I talked last night, and God really is doing amazing things, things that he gave us a heads up on and called our attention to. And then also, you know, that we serve a God who loves to surprise us with how much he loves us and surprise us with how much purpose he has and how much he wants to reveal. And so I would just encourage you as your brother in the faith to both be receiving of the things that God gives us a heads up on and also receive what he wants to give us when he surprises us. And I know that he does that in y'all's lives as well. So as we get this conversation started, I think, and shift into Bible study, if you are someplace planted, maybe in your office or you're at home, you're in your living room, maybe you're at the local church that you encourage and that you're a part of, but I would encourage you to go ahead and get your Bible. You might want to get something to write with, a journal, a pen, maybe a new journal if you have one, but grab some paper to write some notes down. And before we get in the Bible study, I spend so much time with our teenagers and with our students and their families, and I always encourage them this way. I said, "Hey, if you're gonna take notes during a Bible study or take notes during a sermon, you know, I just encourage. I'm not gonna tell you what to do, but you know, you don't have to write down everything that you hear. But a great thing to write down is that there's a phrase that you want to remember. If there's a phrase that comes up that you want to remember, if there's a thought that you're having that you want to remember, or if the Lord reveals you an action step to take, something that you want to say, something that you want to do, once the Bible study, once the message, once the worship service, once the conference, whatever it is, once that has taken place, the step, make sure that you write it down so that it becomes this action item, this action step that you can take. If the Lord's put all the pieces together, then you confidently do it. And if he's shown you the next thing to do, then you confidently do that as well. Because we know that God's speaking to us both through his word, through his spirit, through other people, through songs, through music. God is speaking, and we're going to respond. So grab your paper, grab your pen, and if you have a paper copy of God's word, you have your personal Bible, I would encourage you to get that. But also, if you'd like to look at it on your phone or on your computer, on your laptop, then you can do that as well. We have so many different resources that God's given us to study God's word, and so I would encourage you to go ahead and get that now. Find you a place to sit or stand comfortably. And we're going to be in John chapter 6 today. John chapter 6. The last time I was with y'all, we went through Exodus 33 and 34. We looked at Matthew chapter 11 and how God brings us from point A to point B and that God is personally with us in times of transition. But there are also times, and the last time I was with y'all for Bible study, we talked about sometimes in transition, there can be a heaviness that comes in. And so maybe you're joining with us today, and you've kind of had this thing where God's called you to do something. He's called you to be a part of something. He's put a message within you. He's stirred up a message within you for you to carry. And there's a heaviness that comes, but maybe you're out there and you don't have that sense of clarity. Maybe you're out there today and you kind of feel the heaviness, or maybe even sometimes the painful experience of not knowing what your purpose is, not knowing exactly where God has you, not knowing which lane is yours to be in, to serve in. And so we're going to take a few minutes and look through John chapter 6, because here's what we do not want to happen. We don't want any of us to be on battlefields that we're not supposed to be on. And we don't want any of us to be in lanes that we're not supposed to be. We don't want anybody trying to overcompensate and fill in. We believe that every single person can hear from the Lord. We believe every single person can connect with the heart of Jesus. And we believe every single person can fulfill that and partner, co-labor with Jesus through the power of the Holy Spirit. So we believe those things. We believe those things about you. And we hope that you believe those things about yourself and other people. And John chapter 6 is actually loaded with a whole bunch of red letters, meaning Jesus is talking. It's Jesus's words that he himself is saying that is recorded. And there's a lot of really great insights into what Jesus says about living purposefully, about living on mission, about making sure that we know who God truly is and who we are because of who God is and what our assignment and what our purpose is. So John chapter 6, you can go ahead and turn there. I'm going to start in verse 22, but I would encourage you to read all of John chapter 6 because the first two parts of John chapter 6 is Jesus multiplies and feeds 5,000 people. He multiplies this lunch and feeds thousands of people. And then the next thing that you see in John chapter 6 is Jesus walking on water. So it's a lively, adventurous start to John chapter 6 where Jesus is doing two incredible miracles, amazing things. But we're going to go in and begin in verse 22 so that we can really see who Jesus was truly connected to, what his mission was, and what he valued. But I want to pray for you, please, before we start reading and going verse by verse through this in John chapter 6. Can I pray for you? God, I thank you for each of these people joining in today and each that may be watching at a different time. Father, my prayer is that for each person today, myself included, that as we go through these verses, God, we would receive the clarity that comes from you. That for many of us, we would move from confusion to clarity. We would move from having this heaviness to experiencing your holiness and your goodness. And Father, I pray for each person who's joining in today. Father, in the name of Jesus, I declare that the Word of God is living and active in their lives. That as we go through this, Father, I thank you for the way that you're going to speak to each person, the unique message you have for each person. That for some people, it could be verse 22 or verse 23 or verse 41, or even all the way down to verse 70 in this chapter. God, but whatever verses we cover, Father, I thank you that every single person is going to receive exactly what you send your word out to accomplish. In Jesus' name, amen. So in John chapter 6, verse 22, begin reading. And so after he feeds the 5,000, after he walks on water, John chapter 6, verse 22 says, "The next day, the crowd that had stayed on the far shore saw that the disciples had taken the only boat." Isn't that good? Yeah, this crowd that's with Jesus, they're on the far shore, and they start watching Jesus and the disciples. They start watching. They go into spectator mode, right? Know anybody that can quickly drift into spectator? You got this crowd. Here they are. They're watching it happen. And they see that the disciples had taken the only boat. Doesn't say Jesus and the disciples had taken the boat. It said that the disciples had taken the boat. And they realized that Jesus had not gone with them. All right, so here's an interesting part of Exodus 33 and 34. You remember a few weeks ago, what did Moses say? He says, "Lord, unless you personally go with us, we're not going. Unless your presence is with us, how are people going to know? How are people going to see us that we're different than everybody else if your presence isn't with us?" So now in John chapter 6, you see people spotting. They're like, hey, the disciples are here, and Jesus is not personally with them. Watch what happens next. Very good. Verse 23. "Several boats from Tiberias landed near the place where the Lord had blessed the bread and the people had eaten. So when the crowd saw that neither Jesus nor his disciples were there, they got into the boats and went across to Capernaum to look for him. They found him on the other side of the lake and asked, 'Rabbi, when did you get here?'" All right, so I think that's a great question. If we're going to talk about purpose, if we're going to talk about what God's actually calling us to do, Can we pause for a minute and let's take the pressure off of us having to pick up Jesus and put Jesus in the place that we want him, that we can pick up God's heart and put God's heart in the place. Can we pause for a minute here in the month of May 2026? And can we just be people that trust that God has gone before us? God has prepared things for us to step into. A great phrase for this is that God is preparing you for what he has prepared for you. God already has this thing prepared. Now, what he has a lot of fun doing, it seems like, is that God loves preparing people for what he has prepared for them. And in John chapter 6, people ask this question. They say, "When did you get here?" Hey, all of these opportunities that we have going on, all of these assignments that the Lord shares with our congregation, with our community, every single thing that we get to say yes to, and one of the peaceful things that come on is that we just say that God's already gone before us and he's outlined this opportunity. God, help us to see what you've already set up. Help us to see what you've already designed. For those of you that are leading Bible studies in your communities, or you've got things that you're going on at church, you're serving people in the community where you're at, a part of this community. Hey, people have, God's already put people in your life for you to encourage. We don't need to pick Jesus up and throw him into a situation and be like, okay, now you clean it up. He goes before us. He is a loving Savior. He is a good shepherd who goes before us, who has things prepared for us to step into. Jesus is the teacher. He's the way. Amen? Jesus replies to this in verse 26, and Jesus starts off with this. If you're an underliner, if you're wanting to underline in your Bible today, here's a great part to begin underlining. Verse 26 of John chapter 6, I tell you the truth. And isn't that a great phrase? Isn't that a great phrase just to be reminded of? You want to know the truth? Let's look to Jesus. You want to know the truth about this thing in life? Let's see what Jesus says about it. We want to know how to handle this situation? Let's pray and ask that the Spirit reveals that we can see what Jesus modeled, what Jesus taught, how Jesus walked, how he talked, how he loved people. Let's let Jesus be the model. Amen? Verse 26, I tell you the truth. You want to be with me because I fed you, not because you understood the miraculous signs. And that's the truth. Verse 27, but don't be so concerned about perishable things like food. Wow. Spend your energy. And I read that. Listen, I'm in my fourth year here at Open Door, and I just to share and be a little transparent. You know, for most of, if not all of my life that I can remember, I absolutely love people. I genuinely do. I think there's nothing that gets us more in tune that I've experienced with God's heartbeat than whenever we really listen to another human being. There's three very unique things about every person. Their fingertips are incredibly, they're one of a kind, unique to them. Their eyes are unique to them, and also their voice. So anytime we're listening to another human being, that voice stands alone as a one of one through the history of humanity. So there's a lot. I genuinely love people. I do. Now, that said, if you put me in an environment with a large group of people for an extended period of time, if I can be honest with you, very honest with you, and you may be somebody that's like this, if you put me around a group of people for too long, my energy is going to get zapped. It doesn't mean that I don't love people. There's some people that think that, oh, well, you're introverted, and then that means you don't love people. That's not what it means. It just means that you're not going to get energized by being around that. The way that you get your energy back as someone who's more on the introverted side of things is that you tend to get your energy restored and get it back whenever you have times of solitude. And so for me, that's the way I live. We have plenty of people here at Open Door that may be on the middle part of that. We have other people at Open Door that if you get them alone for too long, their energy's gone. They get recharged, re-energized by being around. So this whole spend your energy thing lands home for me, and I'm sure that it does for you today. And maybe this is a good time for you to share with someone, or for you to just receive the peace and to just accept that God wired you and he designed you to either be energized by this, energized by that. But the truth from this verse is, please don't miss it, that God wants us to be energized. He doesn't call us out for having energy. He says, hey, the energy that you have, you should spend it this way. So what does that do? Hey, however it is that you're able to take care of the energy and steward the energy that God gives you, that's a great action step for all of us. And so Jesus says, spend your energy. Spend your energy seeking the eternal life that the Son of Man can give you. Spend your energy seeking who? Spend your energy seeking Jesus. For God the Father has given me the seal of his approval. Wow. This is some strong language from Jesus. See, and here's whenever we're studying the Bible, y'all, and I'm going to share with y'all a little bit today about how I personally study. I'm not going to go into all of these. I'm going to share what I normally do, and I've got a whiteboard here that I'm going to share. So if I'm in John chapter 6, what I will do is I will write the passage that I'm in. So John chapter 6, I'm here. And then I will draw a straight line going all the way down the paper or the whiteboard. And this is just personal study. If you want a new way, if you want to try it out, you can join in with me on this. If you have your way, that's great between you and the Lord. But whenever I'm reading through scripture and I'm just reading it to read it, pastors, please don't only read scripture just to prepare for your next sermon. Please don't do that. Bible study teachers, please don't sit down to God's word and think the only time that you're going to read it is to prepare for your next Bible study. Those of you that are active on social media, please, as your brother, please do not go to God's word and only read it because you need to come up with your next post. Please don't do that. If you do anything to read God's word, just read it so that it gets inside of you. Read it in a way that you want it inside of you, because what's inside of you is going to come out. So what I'll do, I will write the passage. I'll do a line going straight down. And then what I'll do, if a verse gets my attention, like say verse 27 does, I'll make a little line going out here and I'll make a little line. And then I will start making notes, questions that I have, things. So a question that I would have here is I would say, spend energy with a question mark. And what I'll usually do is I will take that and then I will just begin to pray and say, God, would you reveal your heart to me about what it's like to spend energy? If I'm spending it, that means I get to decide where it goes. I'm the amount. That means there's some things that are going to cost more than others. God, please, I want to know what all of your thoughts are. What is your heart for spending energy? And I'll make a little note there. If there's a phrase in there that I want to see if it's found other parts in scripture in the Old Testament or the New Testament, I'll make a little arrow, make a little note, and then I will just build and go as deep as I can down the page, a verse at a time. There's times where I'll make this arrow and I'll make lines for just one verse. There's other times where, hey, it may be one or two things, and then I'll just research those things. Pastor Troy shares with all of us, he says, hey, if you ever get asked to go and share with a group of people or visit a Bible study or visit a school or whatever it is, and you have no idea what to talk about, what to share about, just talk about whatever God's talking to you about. And so this is a great way for each of you to stay up to date. That when people are like, hey, how's the Lord speaking to you? You'll be able to return to something like this. So if I was studying this particular passage of scripture, I would make a little line on verse 27 and I would start asking questions like this. That God has given me his seal of approval. Well, what that also tells me is that God is interested in giving his seal of approval on people. That also tells me that there are certain things that God is approving of. So now there's a whole other prayer. Lord, show me today what you approve of. God, show me today what you're going to get loud about. And I want to approve of those things as well. I want to get loud about those things as well. The team in DC right now, they are looking to see what God's approving of so that we can get loud about it and we can be on the same page. And Jesus says, hey, you're going to seek me with your energy, the eternal life that I can offer, because the Father's given me his seal of approval. This is powerful language, isn't it? It's really powerful. Verse 28, they replied, we want to perform God's works too. What should we do? That's a great question. It's a really honest question. Jesus is saying, hey, you looked at the miracles that I did. You've heard the things that I've said. The Father's given me his seal of approval. And they're like, that's great. We want to perform God's works too. What should we do? Now, let's make a real note here is that Jesus does not correct them for asking. they're wanting clarity. Remember, that's one of the big goals for today, that each of us would walk away with more clarity than whenever we started this study. They're wanting more clarity. Can I share with y'all? Y'all, there has never been a time where I have regretted seeking more clarity, asking questions to get more clarity on something, on a relationship, on an opportunity, on this initiative, on this objective, what I'm being asked to do. I've never regretted one time seeking additional clarity, not one time. That said, I have a whole laundry list of regrets whenever I didn't seek clarity. I just made up a story in my head about how I thought something was going on, and I just acted on that. I've never regretted one time seeking clarity, ultimately from the Lord. I've never one time, ever. I want to pause for a minute. Listen, for any of you that maybe you have a history where someone someone kind of shared with you this feeling that you should feel stupid if you were asking questions, or stupid if you were asking for clarity, or maybe a previous relationship, somebody made fun of you, or there was verbal abuse involved. Maybe you had a teacher whenever you were a kid and you asked your question and maybe a teacher shamed you, or there was just a weird, it didn't even have to be that. It was just a weird thing that happened. Can I pray for y'all? That you would be someone who would step into the freedom of seeking clarity from Jesus. So Father, I pray right now that if anybody has a weird relationship, if anybody has a weird relationship about asking for clarity, God, I pray that they would be able to come to you with their questions, seek clarity, not regret asking for it, but Jesus, that you welcome people who ask questions to gain additional clarity. In Jesus' name, amen. We want to perform God's works too. What should we do? Jesus told them, this is the only work that God wants from you. Those of you that you started reading the rest of the verse, you already know where this thing lands. But that right there is worth mentioning. This right here is worth getting loud about. Jesus says, oh, you want to do the work? You want to do the work? Great news for anybody who's like, I want to work hard for the Lord. I want to really, well, let's actually see what Jesus is saying. Y'all, this does not mean that we're not going to go to whatever country God calls us to. This does not mean that we're not going to feed people who need to get fed. This does not mean that we're not going to clothe people that need to be clothed. This does not mean that we are not going to show up and do the work, put the effort, put the resources, put the time, put the tears, put the blood, put all of the energy into rescuing people. That's not what we're saying. But we do need to make sure that we know what Jesus says. And Jesus says, this is the only work that God wants from you. Believe in the one he has sent. Now, some people hear that and it's like, that doesn't sound like work. Oh, it is, until something starts rivaling your belief in Jesus. And then you've got a choice to make. See, there's a big thing. I've noticed it some locally, but it's also something that I really see happening in the global church right now, is that God's really given us two options in the things that surprise us and the things that he puts in there that offends our way of thinking how things were going to go. Y'all, we've really got two options as we follow Jesus. We can either get better or we can get bitter. Both of those things are tied to belief. Whenever Jesus says, hey, the work that you're doing, like, at what point did you stop believing in me that I was going to provide for you, that I was going to care for you, that I was going to teach you, that I was going to set you up for success, that you were going to be with me, that I was going to promote you in due time? You need to believe that I have this taken care of. Well, right. When does that start sounding like work? It starts sounding like work whenever we stop believing and stop trusting. When he says, come to me, the only work that the Father really wants is that you believe. What that tells me, y'all, listen, the belief part of it, that is us working out our relationship with him. Isn't that amazing? Just a few verses separate Jesus talking about spending energy and working, but they're all framed in Jesus' heart, where his heart is connected to the Father's heart, and it's through belief, faith, and trust. So he says, believe in the one he has sent. They answered, show us a miraculous sign. This is verse 30. Show us a miraculous sign if you want us to believe in you. I can't give them a hard time. They've just seen these amazing things. They've heard these miraculous things that he's done. They've heard him teach. He says, you want us to believe? Then show us something. And then look at this is the New Living Translation, verse 30. Show us a miraculous sign if you want us to believe in you. What can you do? Good gracious. What can you do? Hey, Jesus is not a puppet. Jesus is not a puppet. Jesus is not someone that we point and say, sing and dance. And he sings and dances whenever we point and ask him to do. No, that's not how this goes. He says, what can you do? Whew, verse 31. They really double down on this. After all, our ancestors ate manna while they journeyed through the wilderness. The scriptures say Moses gave them bread from heaven to eat. Hey, our ancestors, God gave them manna every day, gave them enough to eat every day. Moses gave us that. What can you do? Verse 32, Jesus said, I tell you the truth. Moses didn't give you bread from heaven. What a great correction. Moses gave our ancestors bread. Jesus said, Moses didn't give you all that. Moses didn't give them that. My Father did. And now he offers you the true bread from heaven. The true bread of God is the one who comes down from heaven and gives life to the world. Sir, they said, here's where the turn. Y'all, this is the clarity that you and I can step into today. I'm stepping into it. I'm going all in on this. I am. There are so many areas of my life. I'm like, Lord, reveal to me these areas that I can jump into this right here. Look at this. Sir, they said, give us that bread every day. And Jesus replies, I am the bread of life. Whoever comes to me will never be hungry again. Whoever believes in me will never be thirsty. But you haven't believed in me, even though you've seen me. However, those the Father has given me will come to me, and I will never reject them. For I come down from heaven to do the will of God who sent me, not to do my own will. Let's pause for a minute. If I've got my paper, there's two big things that I'm noticing in this part that Jesus says. The first is going to be in verse 35. Y'all look at this distinction. I'm going to write verse 35 on there. Look at this. Jesus does not say, I'm going to give you the bread of life. Jesus doesn't say, I'm going to show you where you can go and locate it, and then you can start eating. No. What does Jesus say? Jesus says, I am the bread of life. Not that he offers it. Not that he offers it and pulls his hand back. He says, I am the bread of life. If you are hungry, if you're hungering from something in you, for something to fill this hunger type need that you have, the place that you're going to find the healthiest, the most appropriate, the most powerful, the most timely, the most holy, the most perfect for you is that if you find it in me. And here's where we get totally off. Because we will begin to develop a hunger for something. We won't go to him. We'll go and try to meet that need or meet that hunger, satisfy that hunger somewhere else. And that's where we miss it. Now we've spent energy. Now we've totally done a whole bunch of work in the wrong direction because we didn't go to Jesus first. Y'all, this is simple. It is practical. It's that if we have something in our lives, we deserve, according to Jesus, to go to him as the bread of life and him satisfy that hunger. Listen, for anybody who is hungry to be protected in life, we need to go to Jesus and receive the protection from him. Now, it can take any form after that, but who deserves to receive the prayer, Lord, protect me? It's him. For anybody who has a provision type need, listen, I have needs and I have need of provision. I want Jesus to be connected to whatever provision comes. It's like some people, it's like, I understand what you're offering me. I don't see Jesus on what you're offering. Thank you. Thank you so much for offering that. I really need to have the peace that I'm connected with Jesus. If I receive this provision, it's got to go through him. He's the bread of life. I get what you're offering me, but I want him. And the last one, guys, it's promotion. For people who hunger for promotion, Listen, brothers and sisters, can I encourage you, please go after with everything you have to function in the body of Jesus in a powerful way, way more than you desire any specific title. Please, for the love. I tell our students all the time, hey, you could never call me Pastor Ryan again if it meant that you understood more of what pastoring truly is. If you were to truly gain that you realize that pastoring is not about leadership as much as it is being a servant, if you gain that, if you never call me Pastor Ryan ever again, please see Jesus in this. Please get Jesus' definition in this. Y'all, this is really what it's all about. Is that the Lord protects us. The Lord provides for us. The Lord promotes us in his time. He's already gone out in front. Are y'all seeing this? I know that y'all have ears to hear and eyes to see this. Look at what we have to take. We have to take what Jesus says very seriously. Jesus says, I've come down from heaven to do the will of God who sent me, not to do my own will. Can we pause for a minute? I would put verse 39 and verse 38 together. And my question would be, if anybody could have shown up and demanded their own will, if anybody could have shown up and said, we're going to do things my way, we're going to do things according to my will, if anybody could have done that, couldn't it have been Jesus? If anybody could have stepped in and been like, hey, we're going to do my will here, it should have been Jesus. And even Jesus is face to face with everyone, and he says, hey, I'm not even here to do my own will. I'm here to do the Father's will. Listen, y'all, if Jesus himself did not make it about his will, then there's no way that any of us should. If anybody could have made it about his will, it could have been Jesus. It wasn't. Even Jesus said, I didn't come to do my own will. I came to do the Father's will. That is a model. That's an invitation. That is a powerful expression. That is for us being like, yes, I want God's word in me. I want the Father to speak. It's all about him. See, Jesus shared the will of the Father. And if Jesus is our model, according to 1 John 2:6, that if anyone says they love God, they should live their lives just as Jesus lived. Y'all, it's not about our will. We pay very close attention to what the Father says his will is for us, and we live that out. It's the best life possible. It's the best deal going. You want protection? Seek the Father's will about your protection. You want your provision? Seek the Father's will. We can do that, y'all. We really can. You want to experience him promoting you in due time? Let's seek his will for that. For it's my Father's will that all who see his Son and believe in him should have eternal life. I will raise them up at the last day. Then the people began to murmur in disagreement because he had said, I'm the bread that came down from heaven. They said, isn't this Jesus, the son of Joseph? We know his father and mother. How can he say? Listen, they immediately jumped into everything that they knew that was familiar about Jesus. And because they jumped into what was familiar about Jesus, they missed the faith that he was inviting them into. Listen, y'all, familiarity will always armbar new expressions of faith. I'm not saying rhythms. I'm not saying disciplines that the Lord calls us to. I'm saying becoming overly familiar. Overly familiar. I'm going to share this story as we begin to land and give y'all a chance to respond. I don't know what your first job was. I don't know what your first paid position that you had. Mine was working for my dad. There's a local restaurant chain here in Texas, and my dad and my uncle partnered together for a number of years, and my dad hired me, so I started working at this restaurant, and I'm not sure how it happened, but my dad also hired not just me, but also hired my best friend at the time, which you can imagine was great for efficiency and great for productivity. And I remember one night we were there, it was a slow night at the restaurant. And my best friend and I'm not even sure how we got there. Heart to all teenagers. Y'all know why I have so much grace for them and mercy for them and understanding for them. But at 17, my best friend and I thought it was a good idea since it was slow. Let's get one of the brooms at the restaurant, take the end off, just have the broom handle. Let's make a bunch of tape balls from the packing boxes that food came in. And let's just go out in the parking lot of the restaurant and just take some batting practice with a broom handle and some tape balls. And so we did. And everybody else working there, my dad was not at the restaurant at the time. He had gone to do something incredibly responsible, I'm sure. But my best friend and I, we went out in the parking lot. We started hitting. And then I can tell you how we got there. One, like we thought things had slowed down enough that didn't matter. We thought nobody was going to care. We thought we were being pretty cool. My dad wasn't there. But y'all, can I tell y'all that that is a story that I returned to realize, hey, just because things were slow does not mean that I was able to make it about my business. It had to be about the Father's business. Just because the intensity didn't mean that I could just go and start doing whatever I wanted to do or whatever my friend and I wanted to do. We really need to say, because we had agreed to, we were still clocked in. Yo, in Jesus' name, you and I, we are clocked in on this thing. We are clocked in. Times where it's slow can be an opportunity for you to learn a new skill. Times where things are slow spiritually is a time for you to connect, to reach out, to see how somebody else is doing. Time when things slow down is a great time to rest. A great prophetic voice in our community says, hey, if the Lord tells you to go and serve at the food, if he tells you to go serve at the food bank, go do that. But if the Lord needs you to rest and he's called you to go and take a nap, if he wants you to go take a nap and you go down to the food bank, you're being disobedient. Listen, that's challenging for some people. I get it. The key is not that you didn't show up to work. The key is that you were obedient to what God called you to do. That's what Jesus is calling us to do here. That the Father's called you to do something. Do you believe it to be true? And then you do it. Y'all are faithful people. Y'all are getting this. I know right now, many of you are encouraged by hearing what Jesus has to say. Let's finish up. Verse 43, Jesus replies, stop complaining about what I said. Isn't that interesting language? It says the crowd begins to murmur. They begin to get familiar. And what does Jesus take their murmuring and their complaining? You add murmuring and you add familiarity. You know what you get? Complaining. Look at that progression. Jesus tells the truth. They start murmuring about it. They start getting overly familiar with what they thought the story was when Jesus is providing clarity. You want to start murmuring? You want to start getting over familiar with Jesus? The next step is you'll start complaining about what he's doing or not doing. Woo! Jesus replies, stop complaining about what I said. For no one can come to me unless the Father who sent me draws them to me. And at the last day, I will raise them up. As it is written in the scriptures, they will be taught by God. Wow. They will all be taught by God. Everyone who listens to the Father and learns from him comes to me. Not that anyone has ever seen the Father, only I, who was sent from God, have seen them. I tell you the truth, anyone who believes has eternal life. Yes, I am the bread of life. You be encouraged today. Y'all, God wants to teach us. He does. And y'all know it's true. Y'all know it's true. God wants to teach us. He wants to teach us through dreams and visions. He wants to teach us through spiritual awakenings. He wants to teach us as the Spirit moves in us, inspires us, awakens us to what he's doing. But y'all, thank you for being faithful people who realize that God is speaking and wants to teach us through his word. Hebrews says that God's word is living and active. It is sharp, isn't it? God's word is alive and active. And so I know that you are someone who's faithful, that you believe that this is living and active, which means we don't just throw it under the seat of our car with the windows rolled up and walk away from it. We are going to take care of this. Not the physical part, but the meaning, the unseen meaning that it has, the power that we know that it has. We're not going to spend time in it just to check it off of a box. No way. God is speaking to us. We have access to God's voice as we read it. The book of Job also says that just as the ear distinguishes between words, just as the mouth distinguishes between foods, so it is with the way that God speaks to us, that you've heard something today. And it could be that you've heard this and it's gone in and you've tasted it and you're like, thank you, God. I've been wanting to eat that. Awesome. Same could also be true that you may be here and there may be a few things that we talked about. And the Spirit is inviting you to look at God's provision, protection, and promotion in a new way. That's okay. It could be an acquired taste, especially after we've lived some time by going after and trying to meet our own needs. So if you're someone today who you realize that maybe you've gotten a little confused, you've gotten a little off track, there's been a few painful lessons because you've tried to meet your own needs instead of connecting with the God who has perfect protection, perfect provision, perfect promotion for you in due time, it's totally okay. It's normal. Just now that you've heard Jesus tell you the truth, do the work that he actually requires of you, and that's just to believe him. Can you believe him? Y'all, we're going to believe him. I don't know what it is that you're believing God for in terms of provision, promotion, protection, the three that we talked about today, but let's receive Jesus as the bread of life. For those of you joining in, you may want to call and connect with our prayer team and just say, hey, I would like for somebody to pray with me. I have really, really, really been concerned about this area of my life that I'm needing provision. Would you pray with me? They'll pray with you. 877-413-0888. You can give us a call. If you have a praise report about how God's protected you or provided for you, a promotion that you've experienced from him, God bless you. We want to hear about that too. Please share those with us. Y'all, tomorrow we're going to have a special guest on The Pulse. And then tomorrow night, Pastor Troy's going to be here again for our midweek experience at 7 o'clock Central Standard Time. We'll have incredible praise and worship like always. The Lord's really blessed our worship team and our praise and worship here in the house. If you're in the Dallas-Fort Worth area, come and visit us. Come 301 South Dobson here in Burleson. We'd love for you to come and visit us at one of our services. We'd love to meet you and meet your family. And you're welcome here. You're welcome here. Right. You want to get on board with what God's doing? We don't want anybody left behind on that. Come on, come get involved. It's not too late for you to partner with us. It's not too late for us to pray with us. And as we do, I want to pray for you and we'll close up today. God, I thank you for each person who's joined in on the Pulse today, whether they're watching it today on Tuesday or they're watching it at a later time. Father, I pray in the name of Jesus that every single person is going to experience the absolute perfect provision, protection, and promotion that you have for them. Jesus, help to show us more and more what doing the work that you have in mind actually means, that whenever we believe you and you show us what to say, we're going to say it. And that as we believe you and you show us what to do, where to go, and we're going to do it, Jesus, because you have gone before us. Father, I pray for each of my brothers and sisters that you bless them in a special way. Give them an undeniable moment today, an undeniable moment, an undeniable callback to the Bible study that they've experienced today with you. And God, thank you that your word is alive. Holy Spirit, thank you for helping us understand what we're reading. In Jesus' name, amen. Guys, God bless you. Thank you for joining in on The Pulse today, and we will see you back here tomorrow.